It's probably about to get even more joyful because joining me in studio now is Dr. Pearl Coupe.
Woohoo!
It's always
Hey, everybody.
Always good to have you on a Monday. I think it's the right way to start off a week, because we just refuse that we have a Blue Monday.
No, we're not those who wake up and we've been baptized in lemon juice. No.
None of that here.
None of that sour stuff. No, we do not agree. Because the joy of the Lord is supposed to be your strength.
Yes.
So when I see you sour and miserable and, it tells me that you got no joy.
Going on.
Yeah, there's no joy there. We need to get you. You know, they've got these IV drips, especially since COVID.
Yes.
They've been putting all these multivites and stuff. I think we need to get a joy IV drip.
Yes.
Yeah, for some.
Struggling.
Yeah, if you're struggling, if you look like you've been baptized in lemon juice, can you just detour? Short left.
Side.
Short left, Kair.
One side.
Yeah, one side.
Just your joy.
30 minutes of joy, joy multivites into your system now.
Dr. Pearl, welcome back. Listen.
Thank you.
I mean, I said earlier on that when you were last here, we were speaking crucifixion, death, the resurrection, right?
Right.
And I believe we're starting a new series today.
Yeah, we're starting a new series. And this is sort of a little bit on a sober note. Because it was provoked by something that's very near and dear to my heart and really very burdensome. And we're going to be talking about children for the next three, starting today and then two series after this. And our responsibility towards children, that's what I'd like us to discuss. And I want to give a little bit of a background to it because I also do want to mobilize people to get involved. And in this first series, we're going to be talking about the nation's responsibility towards children. And this is really what provoked the series, this three-part series this time. And there is a national responsibility. And it's provoked by a case that we're actually doing. I don't know how many of you know out there that I have trained and mentored a group of Christian women lawyers. So shout out to Christian women lawyers out there. And yeah, there's actually a lot of work that we can do. Because one of the most common kind of irritating questions I get from people is, how do you reconcile being a Christian and a lawyer? So I do want to throw it out there. Peeps, it is, there's nothing wrong with being a Christian and a lawyer. Deborah was actually one, in case you didn't know, because she was judging. And she was judging righteously under a palm tree. She was performing legal functions under a palm tree. And there's a whole book of Judges. As talking about people, judges who were functioning in their legal capacity. So it's actually very biblical. And even God himself calls him a Jehovah El Mishpat, which is, talking about God of justice. And he deals with justice issues. He's the lawgiver, as described in Isaiah 33:22. So there's nothing demonic about being a lawyer. Fire. So if you are a Christian woman lawyer out there, we invite you to join us, the Deborahs. Feel free to inbox me on Facebook, send me a message. We've got a group of young Christian women lawyers. And we were invited, Z, to join in a case, quite a serious case. And I want to really mobilize the nation of South Africa on this case. It's a case where we've been called in as amicus curiae. So that's just a fancy Latin terminology, meaning that you've been invited to join the court matter as a friend of the court, And it's in the case involving some baby rescue centers. So I don't know if you are aware, Z, that we have baby rescue centers, organizations such as Door of Hope, organizations such as Baby Savers. So these are organizations and networks which provide an alternative for mothers who are not able. We have mothers out there who are not able to take care of children. Some of them are too young. They're 14, they're 15. Some of them have been raped or sexually molested, and they're just not in a position to take care of that child. Others of them, different circumstances. Some of them are addicted, are suffering some sort of addiction. And so they come to a place where they do not want to kill the baby, abort the baby, but they don't have the capacity and the means to take care of that baby. So these are baby rescue centers. which now we call them also safe haven. And interestingly enough, Namibia recently, I think it was in 2022, adopted a safe haven law, which allows mothers to leave their babies in baby rescue centers. So these centers will have like a sort of a hole in the doorway. And mothers can anonymously, you know, drop off their baby. And usually there will be a bell. When you put the baby through the door, there will be a bell that alerts the staff members in that network to say a baby has been dropped. And they'll take the baby, they'll rescue, clean up the baby, and make sure that the baby is well taken care of. Well, here's what I wanted to say, and this is why I want to talk about a nation's responsibility to take care of children. So now the Department of Social Development has now, they released a directive in 2022 saying they're banning these baby rescue centers. Yeah, basically, they're banning these. And so our group, which is the Deborahs, 972, have been invited to be a part of this case to, and essentially we're going there to try and save and rescue these baby rescue centers. Mm-hmm. There are a number of people involved. We have advocate Sam Martin, who is a friend of the Deborahs. The Deborahs is led by one of my young ladies, who is advocate Kotato Masupe. And then we have also another lawyer, Helani, who's a child lawyer specialist. We have advocate Reg Willis, who we also work with. We worked with him on a number of COVID cases as well. So, I wanted to just introduce this and say, so in the Joy, this Joy article, this Joy article that's coming out now, the June article, you're going to find an article where I describe the whole situation right there. But I want to say to us, you may have seen a petition out there. We've got a petition. Please, 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 on my Facebook, check out my Facebook page. Join us. Sign the petition. Make a huge outcry, because the consequence of those baby centers closing means that all those babies are going to die. In 2022, I think the last count was there were about 3,500 babies that were abandoned. And that's only the babies that were discovered. So you know that there are many, many other babies. So what's going to happen to those babies now if those centers are closed? It means those babies are going to, you know, just die. They're going to die. And the nation, has a responsibility. That's what I want to say to South Africa. We have a responsibility in our own African culture, in our own Ubuntu. We've always taken care of children.
Yeah.
Children were seen as the wealth of a nation.
Mm.
It boggles the mind that we've come to a place where we don't care about children anymore. Whose values and whose culture have we adopted? That because in our culture, there was no, we didn't even have the word orphan.
Mm.
You didn't have orphans because somebody would be there to take care of the child. The child belongs to the village. Mm. It takes a village to raise a child. So we all assumed responsibility for that child. So it boggles the mind that the government, there would be a government department now that will not see that the raising of a child is the responsibility of all of us.
Yeah.
Of all of us. Where but somebody
what's
is saying.
What's the reasoning? Is it financially it's costing them too much or what?
They're not paying anything. They're not paying anything.
What's the problem?
They're not paying anything. These organizations are being sponsored privately and through donors.
Mm.
They're not paying anything. In fact, these organizations are doing the work of what the government should be doing. Yeah, because in many other places, in many nations, they have orphanages where you can bring these children and these babies, and literally they're doing the work that the government itself should be doing. No, their explanation is that they're saying that we are encouraging criminality because we're encouraging mothers to abandon their babies, and that's a criminal offense. So that's their explanation. Now, here's what we're saying now. We are saying that mothers have been abandoning their babies for a long, long time. long before even these baby centers were set up. So it's not the baby rescue centers that are making mothers abandon babies. Mothers have been abandoning babies because they were not able to take care of the babies. Not because there's a rescue center, but because they are incapable.
They don't have a choice.
They do not have a choice to abandon. Now, what these baby rescue centers are doing are providing a safe place. And so what we want to do is encourage the nation as South Africans to follow the footsteps of Namibia. Namibia saw that there was a need. They saw that their babies who are being abandoned, and they addressed it in a very responsible way, where they changed the law and they said, we cannot criminalize mothers because they do not have the capacity to take care of their babies. What we're going to do is pass a law, which is also a law in America. We're going to pass a law called the Safe Haven Law. And that law now decriminalizes abandonment of babies. And that's what we need to do. Instead of advocating for the baby centers to be closed and advocating for mothers to be criminalized. And that's why they do it secretly, you see. Because if they're caught abandoning the baby, they're going to be arrested and sent to jail for something that they can't avoid. They can't help. Circumstances that are beyond them. We can't criminalize mothers for their inability to take care of a child, but they want the child to live.
Exactly.
Yeah, you can't penalize people for that. They at least took the responsibility to ensure that this baby was in a safe place where that baby would be raised lovingly by people who are able, because some of these centers, safe haven centers, people can now adopt children or become foster parents, etc. So the child will be raised by loving parents, some parents who can't have children and would desire to have children and raise these children up. So South Africa, come on, let's get on board. I want to appeal to the Department of Social Development. Please, let's respond responsibly as a nation that loves its citizens, as a nation that loves its children and its babies. We have a responsibility towards these babies to ensure that they're raised up. They have a chance at life. Yeah. Like we did.
Yes.
Like we did. We all had a chance at life. So I want to appeal to the members and the leaders of Department of Social Development, the Director Generals, the ministers of the Social Development Department. Please, let's respond to it in a responsible way by passing a safe haven law and by actually helping these baby rescue centers.
Exactly.
When you pass the legislation, you should even be allocating money to these baby rescue centers to help them fulfill the mandate and the agenda and the great job that they're doing by ensuring that vulnerable, helpless babies out there have a chance at life. So please sign the petition. Please make noise about it on your social media. I've got the article out there. Share the article, you know, and let's as a nation, let's take care of our children.
Dr. Pearl, thank you so much.
Thank you so much, C.